Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again, this time on the near side, for another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package gonna keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up, and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin. Listen to me. Rich people think differently. So what I'm going to put in your head today is a rich people concept so you can get to understand it. The only difference between successful people and not is just how they think. Rich people think different. Quit letting people tell you got to get qualified in another program. You don't need another program to be successful. You need to change the way you think. So here's the deal. The problem with becoming a millionaire is that when you decide that you want to be a millionaire, you immediately start thinking, how can I become a millionaire? Well, that thought don't just pop into your head, so you get frustrated and you don't become a millionaire. And you start creating stuff like, well, I guess this wasn't the Lord's will, or as soon as I think of how I'm going to make a million. You can't think of how to make $1 million. Stop. Do you know if you knew how to make $1 million, what's today, Tuesday? Wouldn't you make it by Friday? Would not you make it by Friday? But suppose I told you how you can become a millionaire with what you have. Because here's the deal. All of you have everything it takes to become rich. You just don't believe it. Now, if you can develop this theory that I'm about to share with you, I have the way for you to be rich. This is it. First of all of you have a gift. God gave it to you when he created you. God never created a single soul without giving them a gift. That's the God that created you. He's a very smart God. Hear the cold thing. When he made you, he put the gift inside of you. He didn't hide it under the ocean. It ain't on the mountain nowhere. It ain't under no rocks. You ain't got to go drilling. God put what you needed inside of you at birth. All of you have a gift. But you have got to do your gift, the thing God gave you at birth to do. It is the thing that you do the absolute best with the least amount of effort. That's your gift. Anything else you're doing, you're wasting your time. Do you hear me? You're wasting your time. If when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and it makes you sick every morning that alarm go off, it's because you ain't doing your gift. You're going against what God created you to be. Do most of you know what your gift is? Who in here doesn't know their gift yet? Okay, let me tell you what you do. Go home today. Don't talk to nobody. Sit down and have one conversation with yourself. What is the thing that I do the absolute best with the least amount of effort? This ain't going to take you long. You old enough, you grown. Write it down. I don't care if it's networking. I don't care if it's babysitting. I don't care if it's doing color. I don't care if it's painting. Whatever it is, it's what you do. Sing it. Whatever you do the best, write it down. That's your gift. That's it. You ain't got to go asking a bunch of people. They've been telling you your whole life. You know, you ever had people call you with their problems? They always call you with your problems because you gifted at it. But you didn't know how to identify it. If you identify your gift. Now, let me ask you this question. This thing that you're gifted at, if you did it for somebody, do you think somebody would pay you $10 for your gift? Just $10. Could you babysit for $10? Could you cut somebody's hair for $10? Could you cut their grass for $10? Could you make them a chicken dinner for $10? Could you do something for $10? Everybody, don't you have something somebody will give you $10 for? Okay, now, once you have something that somebody's willing to pay you $10 for, this is how this works. It's called the multiples of 10. See, you don't have to figure out how to be a millionaire. You just got to figure out the thing that makes you $10. So now here we go. You do it and you make $10. Soon as they pay you the 10, go do it 10 more times. Whatever it was. Watch some more kids 10 more times. Get another 10. You got $100. When you get $100, whatever you did to make that $100, listen to me, do it 10 more times. You ain't got to get tricky with it. Just do it 10 more times. You'd have made $1,000. Whatever you did to make the $1,000, don't get smart. Stay stupid now. Do it 10 more times. You have now made $10,000. Hold up. Now we finna grow a little bit, but guess what you got to do to grow? You just got to do some more. Whatever you made $10,000 doing, I need you to do it 10 more times. What you tripping for? If you do it 10 more times, you got $100,000. Now, you might have to hire some people to make this happen. You got to figure that part out. But all you got to do is do what you did for $10. Once you make $100,000, uh-oh, if you just do it 10 more times.
Okay, today's podcast, that caught me off guard there, is titled, we're building up momentum starting actually yesterday, little bit by little bit so we can go into 2022 right. We got about, 61 more days left in this year? So today's podcast is titled Vision 2022, Write It Down. So, if you got the vision inside of your head, what you would like to accomplish for next year, and it could be one thing, all right, take it out of your imagination by reducing it down to writing. So what our primary thing going into 2022 is we're launching It's My House Housing Outreach. It's My House Housing Outreach. And as I've stated many times before, everything starts with one. So we're starting with one right where I'm at. But we're gaining a teeny bit of traction already. So this is how this works. We're going to be looking for people that you might be facing eviction, you might be facing a foreclosure, you might be in a shelter, or, you know, you just might want to have something to do. But we're looking to teach people how to build their own house. Now, let me qualify this. We're talking about tiny houses. We're talking about structures that are probably no more than 350 to 375 square feet. That's about, you know, top end 399 square feet. We're not even doing 400 square feet. Because 400 square feet, the way I'm thinking, is a small house. So we're talking about a tiny house. But there are plenty of people that live in 168 or 160 square foot homes. Two people, you know, can do that. So, in any event, but we're looking for people that need shelter. Now, so we're going to teach them how to build it. There'll be some classroom stuff, but the bulk of it will be hands-on. They'll be actually building the house. Now, we're not going to build something and then give somebody the keys and say, hey, live in it. No. they have got to actually participate in building their own place. Now, we're still in the brainstorming section of this, because I just came up with this idea this morning. And it's been the outreach out there, the housing outreach out there. I've been toying with that idea for a few years, but now it's ready to put the, you know, rubber to the road. So now, interested parties will have to have two things to start. Number one, they're going to have to present some type of official ID, driver's license, state ID, passport. We're not doing any background checks, but, you know, we want to know who you are. Okay. Now, the second thing is the person will need $10. The $10 is not going to come our way at all. What is the $10 for? Is number one, you need to have some type of vested interest. Now, your labor, because you're going to help be building this house that you're going to be living in. It's going to be your house. Thus, it's my house. So you will be able to say that. And in addition to the official ID, okay, you're going to need $10. The $10 doesn't come to us, all right? The $10 will be used to buy materials. It ain't gonna get you far. The $10 when it comes to materials, but and then we're gonna go because we're gonna have people make donations. But I think people will be more inclined to donate if they know you've got some skin in the game. So we're talking about just $10. You know, that might buy you some tacks or some nails or some screws or what have you. Might buy you, well, it's not going to buy a lot, but. So those are two things. And then we're going to give you some airtime where you can come on a live stream. And you can tell your story. You can make your pitch, because that's you also put more skin into the game. And people will be able to appeal to you. I mean, you can be able to appeal to them, answer their question directly. You know, you'll have video of you at the particular site where you're building and all this. So everything will be transparent and documented, because you're going to have to raise the money to do this. We'll help you. Okay. Now, like I say, I'm starting out. I've got two places. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, my tablet. Let me cut my tablet off. Okay. Now, where was I? So now here's where we got three locations to start. Well, I'll name two of them. All right, we've already got land in here in Florida. We got 4 acres, and it just came to me this morning. You know, things really to pick up and to go into 2022. Okay, you know, take a certain amount of that land out of the 4 acres. Anywhere from 10% to 25% of it, up to 1 acre, and use it for educational purposes, teaching people how to, you know, build off-grid homes, solar homes, gardening, farming, rainwater harvesting, stuff like that. How to eliminate their utility bills. So that's how we're starting off. That's what came to me this morning, real strong, feel real good about it. So We got that location, which we call, and I announced this last week, but I'll announce it again today. That whole 4 acres is what we call Earth Wealth. And what does E stand for? It stands for Earth Wealth Energy Village, because there, and we'll be doing e-commerce out of there too. But we call it Earth Wealth because if you see the pictures that we have online, we got at least one video online too. If you go to our Facebook page, It's My House TV on Facebook, you scroll down it, we got that on that page. I'll have to add new ones on there just to update it, but we've got some pictures on there already. You just have to scroll down, you'll see it. It's named Earth Wealth because there's a lot of earth wealth there. Number one, anything that's on the ground, the leaves, the branches, all that stuff is earth wealth. That stuff can be made into biofuel. So there's a lot of biofuel unharvested on the whole 4 acres. Another part of the wealth that is there within the earth is that we can legally, do our own wells there, where we can have as much more water as we want. So that's another form of wealth, earth wealth that's there. Now, it's a lot of trees there, but they're open, they're natural open spaces there where sunlight goes all the way down to the ground, where we can harvest sunlight that will generate via solar panels. So you've got that form of earth wealth there too. So you've got biofuels, so when it gets cool during the winter months, which it does in that part of Florida, you got that earth wealth that is on the ground in abundance, okay, that can be turned into biofuels to heat the home that you're going to build. Or, you can monetize it and sell it. So you got that form of earth wealth. You got water there below the ground. When it rains, that's another form of earth wealth. It's pretty well wooded. It's not densely wooded, but it's pretty well wooded. But that's why we call it Earth Wealth E Village, when the E stands for Energy Village. But also e-commerce, because you can pick up an internet signal there, and you can work remotely from right there in that environment. So that's what we're looking for. So we're going to start there. And next month will be the housing outreach will be on another network out of North Carolina, where we'll be doing offline events in the state of North Carolina as well. So before the end of the year, we've got boots on the ground locations. It'll be two here in Florida, and there'll be one in North Carolina. That's what, now today's November 2nd, 2021. That's what I've got lined up, and this idea just came to me maybe about 2 hours ago. I don't even think 3 hours ago. So we'll be doing a radio program. Oh, it's not a radio program. We'll be doing a podcast, a live stream podcast, once a week, typically on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. That's what we have tentative for now. I'll give you more details in the call-in number for that as we approach December. But that'll be for our North Carolina people, and then we'll be scheduling live build events with local people And I don't know what part of North Carolina yet. I think Raleigh, but we'll let you know. But we'll be doing live offline events with building in North Carolina and Hamilton County, Florida. That's where we're starting, Hamilton County, Florida. And we got one more location in Florida where we'll be building. And we'll give you more information. So that's where we are on that, on, and this is the second day of November. Now, the goal here is we want to build a network of probably 10. I'm trying to follow Steve Harvey as close as possible on this. So we'll have a market of 10. So each month, the idea is to have 10, help 10 people, get them educated, not only classroom, but boots on the ground, hands-on experience. So we want to, the vision is to do 10 of those a month in 10 different markets. That's one per market. Now, what I will be doing, and hopefully you'll be doing, whatever your vision for 2022 is, what I'll be doing is and I've already done it, but I had to get into detail on it, on reducing that idea in your head, which is in your imagination, reducing that down to writing, okay, so it'll be more clear in your head. That's what I'm doing for myself, but whatever your project is for 2022, you know, write it down. I think it'll be, and I call that thinking on paper. I think it'll help you hit the ground running. Matter of fact, if you hit the ground running now in 2021, you're already in a full stride when January 1st comes around. Okay, so that's, you know, we got 61 days left. That's not long. So we have to make every day count. But we're going to do the 10 by 10 thing. We'll probably do 12, build a network of 12, and I'm figuring out of the 12, I'll have 10 solid ones. Well, let's say, well, hold it. I'll have 7. If we build 12, a network of 12, I'm figuring 7 to 8 of those markets will be consistently producing something as far as our educational builds on a consistent monthly basis. I'm using the 80-20 rule. Okay. Ideally, I would like to have all 12 operating, or at least 10 out of the 12, but we're shooting for 12. Hopefully we'll land with 10, and out of the 10, we'll have 7 or 8 that'll be consistent every month. All right? For some people who sign up, we'll have 2 programs. I hate to use that word program because that sounds like the government stuff. I had to come up with a better word. In any event, your first thing is, step or phase one is you build the roof over your head. That's phase one. Phase two is you have to build an income-producing property. It could, the second property that you build for income, Airbnb or whatever you want to do, could mirror the thing you built for yourself. But you're building the second one for income. Now, here's the inspiration for this. The origins of It's My House came from, because I didn't come up with the name It's My House. It's My House came from the squatter I had and a house I have. And I wasn't even thinking about doing a podcast, nothing like that at the time. I was thinking, how can I get this person out of the house? And what was interesting about this squatter, she was an administrative assistant, pretty good too, secretary. And her father was a contractor. And her brother-in-law was a contractor, or is a contractor. And his brother is a contractor. So my mother, who was living at the time, she's transitioned. My mother made the suggestion, why don't you tell this person, get your father and her brother-in-law, two contractors, have them build her a house and then start a business. She managed the business, they do the work. I thought it was a brilliant idea. Well, I went and told the squire that I got cussed out. But that idea won't be wasted. So the people that we're looking for are people that might be facing eviction. They might be facing foreclosure. They might have gotten into a reverse mortgage. They might not even have any of those type of problems. They just might want to learn how to build something and live in it. So that's the inspiration. So phase one is you build your own thing. You'll actually pick up the skills. If you decide to go to phase two, the landlord phase, then you're building that for income. Because, see, this squatter tried to take my house. But if you got the skill set where you know how to build your own house and you've actually done it, and you've got another one that you've built, you know, now you know how to create wealth. So, that's the inspiration behind all this. We're going into our December 24th, we're going into our eighth year, but we're headhunting now. I put in a call. That's how we got the North Carolina thing set up already. We'll be the first Wednesday in December of this year, 2021. We'll be on at tentatively, the working time is 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Like I said, as we get closer to that date, I'll give you the information, the call-in number and all that for that. That'll be on Wednesday afternoon, every week for our North Carolina market. And I'll let you know the target area where we're going to be having offline build events for North Carolina. And the same thing for here in Florida. And if you're interested, because we're looking at 12 markets only, because we're hoping out of that 12 we'll get a solid 10. But if you're interested in having us do boots-on-the-ground workshops in your neck of the woods, okay, where the – and here's what the person does. The person, after they go through – and I'm not on – I won't be part of the vetting committee or nothing like that. But after a person is selected for that particular area, okay, right now, and once again, we're in a brainstorming, they got to put up at least $10 of their own money. That money will be used to buy, it won't buy much, but they're putting a little bit of skin in the game besides their labor. All right. Then we're going to be asking for donations to build, you know, the structure, okay? And they'll be participating in that too. That's more skin in the game. And the way that's going to work is you're not going to send any money to me. You're not going to – I won't have anything to do with any of the finances. It's like if we need sheetrock or two-by-fours or a hammer or a drill or whatever, then whatever you decide to donate, we're going to ask that. We're going to hear the numbers like, for instance, if it's we do something in Jacksonville, Florida, for instance, okay, then we're going to give you, here's the number of the Lowe's or the Home Depot or the Ace Hardware or the Menards if they have one in Jacksonville, Florida. Here's their phone number, okay? Call them up or go online and you pay for the order on your end directly to that local vendor, Home Depot, Menards, whatever it might be. And then have them deliver that, the build site, and we'll go through details on that. Somebody will be there to get it, and then as soon as it arrives, we want to put it to work. Part of the whole educational piece is security. I'll give an example. There was, matter of fact, she's not on here right now, but somebody put together an investment club in Orlando, which is still together to this day. They've been together for about 5 or 6 years, probably 6 years now, if not 7. And one of the people paid for the roofing material. They paid for it directly at, I think, Lowe's. And Lowe's delivered it to the job site. But nobody was there to greet it. All right. So the next day people come by to do some work. This is roofing material. And the roofing material was gone. Something like any type of building material, particularly roof material, you need to have somebody there to meet the people when they deliver the product. In this case, it was roofing material. And then the safest place to put roofing material, taking consideration the rain, is on top of the roof. Because any joker that decides to steal it, they're going to have to expend some energy to, you know, to get a ladder, you know, to get up on a roof and haul it down and all that type of stuff. Okay. Or they had a building there with people living in it. You could have stored it in some kind of secure place within the house. All this type of stuff, security and all that, we're going to be teaching that. Because, you know, once people, if they're donating money to this project, all right, we don't want people walking off with the material. All right, so we'll get through those things as well. So, and we'll be taking suggestions on you guys. So, we've got 3 locations so far, so hopefully by Thanksgiving, we'll have, with hopefully 10 of those will be working on a consistent basis. So if you're interested in having It's My House outreach, housing outreach, in your neck of the woods, just, you know, contact me, and we'll go from there. So ideally we're looking for 12. We got 9 more to go. All right. And December, the first Wednesday in December at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be doing a weekly live stream promoting what we'll be doing in North Carolina. And by that date, you'll know the particular city or town in North Carolina where we'll be doing It's My House outreach. So... And like I say, for 2022, whatever your vision is, and some of you are probably working on something, but if you're working on, write it down. I started writing down stuff last week. In any event, open phone lines, trending topics, open mic, anything you guys want to talk about, but that's what we're working on. It's My House Housing Outreach. If you have any suggestions, 619-768-2945. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Thank you. Before I get started with this video, I just want to personally thank the brother Fred Hassan Powell of the Morale Facebook page for sharing this social political cartoon, which is currently displayed in this video. I always big up brothers who are artists like him, my man Will James, Alex K. Art, Chris Miller, and others, because their pictures speak volumes. They don't have to say one word because, as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words. In fact, I want y'all to take a good look at this picture, which shows a brother with his hat flipped to the back telling the bald-headed brother that he's hungry as fuck. When the brother attempts to hand him his own fishing rod so he can get some fish on his own, he gets verbally assaulted. No, nigga, I want some fish. Fuck out of here with that coon shit. Man, if you look closer, you'll see that the brother that says he's hungry got a fresh pair of Jordans on his feet. And once again, I want to thank you, Fred, for sharing that photo because it is a perfect warm-up for what I'm getting ready to bring up next. Look, last week, I had to stop past a gas station, and when I went in, I took a quick glance over to the newsstand, and I saw the Washington Post. The first thing that caught my eye was something that you normally don't see on the cover of a newspaper, which was a few straggling pants sagging brothers sitting on a stoop of a building outside. I didn't have the time to read the paper in the gas station because I had to fly, but I checked the article online when I got home, and I was just flabbergasted. I want you all to check it out for yourself in the description box. It is the December 9th edition of the Washington Post, and the front cover story is a look back at the riots which took place in Baltimore this past April following the death of Freddie Gray. The Post took the time to interview a few of the residents and get their personal take on how things have been and has any positive change comes to the streets of Baltimore after the riots. And one of the brothers that they interviewed was a young man that was out there on the streets peddling drugs from time to time, and he stated that he ended up finding out shortly after the riots that there were a few storefront apartments that were up for sale and that they were only selling for just $5,000 a piece. He then said that when he ran the idea of getting together and investing in the neighborhood past several brothers that he was out there selling drugs with on the streets, all of them told him no. And see, this goes to what brothers like myself, Sean James, and many others who are right here on YouTube have been telling y'all about this modern Negro. Okay, this Baltimore brother that was interviewed by the Washington Post had a great idea and the right frame of mind to purchase this storefront property while the price is extremely low. But the rest of the Negroes that are around him ended up dragging him into the quagmire of apathy that surrounds the Negro landscape.
Shit, dude. Keep that bitch on your face. Shit, dude. That bitch scared, nigga. Oh. Beat her motherfucking ass. She's like you, motherfucking nigga. Beat her motherfucking ass.
That nigga can't. That nigga hurting himself.
You from Nuke State.
It's over. It's over. What I say is over. Everybody get the fuck out of here.
Man, fuck you. Let's go across the street.
I ain't caught it. I'll slap the fuck out of one of y'all. Real quick. Just like this. What a job.
Look, the main spot that this brother was looking to purchase had five rooms between both of the upstairs levels, and it just needed a little bit of furnishing. These spots could have easily been rented out to tenants or used as cheap housing by family and friends that could have worked a legitimate business out of that storefront. The Negro just don't get it, because the more legitimate storefronts, strip mall shops, apartments, and tenements you own would lessen the police targeting you, because then you can do what the foreigners and white folks that own these places do, which is hire the police to work security at your properties and places of business. Why do you think they don't go upside the heads of these foreigners? Because they step to the police officers and let them know that they have work for them. These foreigners and white folks that own and run these storefronts hire the cops, and if they don't pay them with cash, they give them free merchandise and meals on the house, so they in turn look out for them. And half these cops do moonlighting security at these places even when they are on duty, because all they got to do most of the time is just drive through with a squad car or do a quick foot patrol right near the business or apartment housing units that are being rented out. This is why they don't give the Chan family or any Chinese youngster any problems when they see them in the hood by their dry cleaners. This is why they don't bother Mr. or Mrs. Akbar or any Arab kids that they see near the gas stations they own. This is why they don't mess with Miss Yee or any of her grandkids that are close to the nail salon she owns. Because they take a small percentage of the proceeds and pad the local policeman's pockets. And see, your typical foolish Negro that would challenge what I just told you will say, well, see, you insinuating that we got to bribe the police for them to stop brutalizing us. But they, like most, don't know anything about capitalism. It is a game of economic musical chairs. I just gave you the analogy when I mentioned all the foreign families that own all the storefronts, strip malls, and rental properties. Who is the only one who is left standing up with no businesses or property to speak of when the music is done playing and the cops roll through the neighborhood? That's us, yapping back and forth when the music stops and they tell our loitering asses to get moving or catch a bruising. That's us, walking around with sagging pants and glow-in-the-dark fluorescent color wigs like this sister that you see right here tossing rocks during the riot last April. Now, she's throwing rocks and expressing her anger and frustration, but she has a fresh weave on top of her head, which helped pay some of the officers that broke Freddie Gray's back. So who is the sellout and coon, black folks? And think about it. If you own some of those storefronts and control the flow of unlaundered, legitimate made currency that comes through those areas, you can do your illegal dirt all day long without that much harassment from the local authorities. You might draw attention from a few alphabet gang organizations, like the DEA, FBI, and others, but the local guys aren't going to pay that much attention because you're helping them pay bills and you're putting food in their stomach. And since I brought up the subject of illegal activity and you pants-sagging clowns love to talk about how gangster you are, why don't you do what some of the Irish, Italian, Jewish, and Polish immigrants your dumbass keeps trying to emulate did by legitimizing some of your hustles and using the same police force that chases you around the neighborhood as a shield. See, most Negroes will try to tell you that we are always at the end of a nightstick, a baton, or getting showered with bullets just because we are black. But ask yourself a question. Why aren't that many Ethiopians and West Africans getting mollywopped and punished to the extent that many so-called African Americans are in the U.S.? Remember, they're just as black and sometimes way darker than us. But why are there fewer cases of them being brutalized and killed by the police like we saw with Amadou Diallo or Abner Louima, both of which took place in New York? Why so few cases compared to us so-called Afro-Americans? It's because they're smart enough to own businesses, restaurants, furniture stores, parking lots, etc., and pay the cops to look the other way so their fellow countrymen aren't harmed in any way. That's the logical thing to do. But you can't tell this Negro from America that because you're still living off the backwards principle and creed of entitlement, which these liberals drafted up for us long ago. Instead of assessing this situation from a global perspective and seeing that everyone else seems to be purchasing everything around us so they can live comfortable lives and keep us at a position of marginalization as opposed to putting themselves in that boat, the Negro man and woman in the U.S. will counter it by saying, see, I object because my tax dollars pay for the police not to harass me. No, they don't, you imbecile. Especially after Uncle Sam rapes their paycheck just like he rapes everybody else's. Now, your pro-whack movement pseudo-black nationalist leaders will call me a coon for telling you this, but this is something that they know firsthand. They also know that you more than likely won't view this phenomenon from all angles because you're still under the influence of the can't we all just get along flavor Kool-Aid most black folks drank after the post-civil rights movement era, thinking that all the bigotry-enhanced physical assaults and beatdowns we took during chattel slavery and Jim Crow had an exclusive cutoff date to them. Which is why every single year one of these highly publicized police brutality incidents takes place, there's some dumb Negro that says, I don't believe that in 2087 this is still happening to black people. Yeah, it is. And it's going to keep on happening in 2088 if you don't adopt a different way of thinking, dummy. Your pseudo-black nationalists won't tell you that you are mostly to blame for this continually happening, because they want you to keep feeling sorry for yourself and attend more lectures and debates where they argue over whether or not a woman is God or which master teacher's philosophy is better to follow. But I'm here to tell you right now, black folks, that we don't need to attend a gazillion seminars, travel with a million other jugheads to commemorate the anniversary of a march that never led to mass black improvement, or study the teachings of some philosophical doctor with 10 degrees to find a solution to our problem. This brilliant brother from Baltimore that was interviewed in the December 9th edition of the Washington Post, who more than likely didn't even finish high school, just gave us the answer. And if you're wondering why I titled this thing Ballin' on Baltic Avenue, I did so as a way of saluting one of my grandfathers. See, long ago when I was a very little boy, he taught me how to play Monopoly. I was about 7 years old, and I was all geeked up racing around the board to buy Boardwalk and Park Place. And he said, go right on ahead. He let me do it and said, I'll just buy a Baltic, Mediterranean, Oriental, and all these other properties that you aren't even thinking about. So as the game went on, and I only owned Boardwalk, Park Place, and Pacific, I think, he had all the other properties, the railroads, the waterworks, the electric company, and a whole bunch of hotels and houses on all of them while I was looking silly. And I ended up having to sell what I owned and wait for that $200 paycheck once I passed go. Once it finally set in that I lost the game, he chuckled and told me, son, you got to own what's in the ghetto before you walk around the block. And that lesson that my grandfather Dave, rest his soul, taught me still applies to this very day. Ownership is a universal language, no matter what culture or ethnicity you come from, because it regulates the sort of relationship you're going to have with most of the people around you.
All right, and we'll be doing that with these with our Vision 2022, with our educational build camps. We'll be doing actually Baltic Avenue, Baltic and Mediterranean. If you're familiar with the board game Monopoly, the least expensive properties on that in that game are. The purple properties, there's only two of them in the game, Baltic and Mediterranean. So that's what we'll be dealing with. We're not dealing with any high-end Park Avenue properties. We're dealing with the ones that are on Baltic and Mediterranean as in relationship to the Monopoly board game. And we'll have game nights, too. So the whole process will be pretty fun. Now, one of the models that we'll be building are off-grid solar homes. And I'll play this a gazillion times on here, but I'll play it again for new listeners. But listen closely, because we're going to be doing what's in here. You already got land, but we'll tell you how you can get your own land.
Hi folks, in this video I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine, or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, my board is sticking a little bit here. What's your vision, if you guys want to share it, for 2022? Okay, wait a minute. What's your vision, if you guys want to share it, for 2022? My primary vision is, the primary is to set up this network of build schools or camps or whatever you want to call them. And taking some of the simple ideas, we got part of the physical stuff we need already. Now we just want to add people to it, because I get calls throughout, few times a year. So now we can have places that are set up for people. Okay, let's see. What are we looking at? Here's what I want. This is something I would like to see us do every weekend.
Because I used to observe that a lot of those shacks used to be by the track where black people were.
With the room in the back.
Yes, with the room in the back. That was a safety net where black people who would move here and there and go from here and there looking for jobs, that's usually why we move, and the jobs would play out like they always did.
And do.
But we had a place to go when the sun went down. But now, those shacks by the track don't exist anymore. They came and built highways right alongside of those railroad tracks where those shacks used to be. Super highways. So now, if you get on a highway, you might notice that sometimes you're right alongside of a railroad track. You see trains passing
that
as you're driving.
That is true.
Down a super highway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, those highways used not to be there in the northwestern hemisphere. It used to be shacks along there. A lot of those shacks were on what we call railroad property. But the railroad people, the people that ran the railroads, didn't care much because nobody wanted to be down. That wasn't prime real estate.
No.
Nobody wanted to be by the tracks anyway. So black people used to build little shacks around there back when black people knew how to build shacks. Black people don't know how to build anything now because they used to build places for white people, but they cut them off with things called unions, took them out, took the carpentry all out of the schools and all like that. So how many black people do you know how to fix anything now? It used to be thousands and millions of black people that know how to build a house from scratch out of old pieces of lumber.
Wow.
A lot of people don't remember that. Most people are not that old to have seen it done. I'm coming along. I'm old enough to remember when many black people used to get together on a Saturday afternoon. That was the only time they had off, or sometimes, or on a Sunday sometimes after church. They would get together, six or eight of them, and go down and build what they call a shotgun house. It wasn't much, but it was a roof over your head, a good solid roof. I've been in some of those houses, raised up in some, all right? Excellent, solid houses that could stand a lot of storm and rain. They weren't much, just maybe three rooms. But I've been in some of them, and there were many, 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 many of them. But along came the white supremacists and say, these Negroes know how to build stuff. We're going to fix that so the next generation won't know how to do anything except stand in front of a place that is built and beg, because they won't know anything about carpentry or masonry or how to make anything with their.
I'll be as quick as I can, as quick as it takes to kill somebody, I guess. You want me to be that quick. But, you know, as Ms. Fletcher pointed out, and it doesn't take much to look on the local news every night and see how many black kids, black boys, black men are being killed with these stand-your-ground defenses that these people raise. Then they get off. So I take issue with that. I'm the only person here of color, okay? I am a mother, too. And I have a son. And I care as much for my son as y'all care for y'all's. But my son doesn't walk the same path as yours does. So this debate deserves more time. I'm in Pine Bluff. We have killings regularly down there. Mr. Hunter knows. He's our prosecutor. Now, I don't know where the heck, I know where you are from, Gary. And I don't know really where Mr. Ballinger is from. But I can tell you that for a long time since I've been back here in Arkansas, I have feared for my son's life. Now, he's 27. He's out of Arkansas. And I thank God he is. When you're bringing up crap like this, it offends me. And then to limit the debate too, this is crazy. You don't have to worry about your children, Will. I worry about my son. And I worry about other little black boys and girls. And people coming into my neighborhood, into my city, saying they got open carry rights, walking down in front of my doggone office in front of the courthouse. That's a bully. Do I have a right to stand my ground with some crazy-ass person walking around with a doggone gun? I don't know what the hell he intends to do, but I know I am scared. I feel threatened, just like some of y'all walking around here up in the legislature with these damn guns. That, what's his name, Garner, came in here, walking around here with a damn gun in his under his coat. You can see the damn print.
Senator, you need to stop.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. What the hell are you going to do, shoot me?
Senator.
Senator, shit. What the hell? I'm telling you. This deserves more attention. You want to come up here with all these little NRA bills and bills that Alec have and all that stuff. I'm talking about my son's life. And I'm talking about the lives of other black kids. Do what the hell you want to do. Go ahead. But you can't silence me. You got your damn silence gun out the damn chamber today. But you are not going to silence me.
Senator Flowers, if anybody hasn't tried to silence you, it's me.
Get this over with. He said we were going to be down here all night. You got all these people up here. NAACP is here too. Let them speak. Want to limit some damn debate.
Senator.
What?
You're out of order.
And so what?
So you're out of order.
Okay, so what?
You're out of order.
And so what are you going to do about it? I am upset.
You need to be upset somewhere else.
No, I don't. I got a right. I'm an elected officer just like you.
Well, that was one I pulled out of the archives. She was or is a lone wolf. She didn't have nobody in there backing her up. More importantly, she didn't have any political action committee that would monetarily put some teeth into her rant and get some legislation done. In any event, so Robin, we have any events on your end? Because I consider it part of the holiday season now. But we're using the holiday season to launch into 2022. Okay, well, pretty quiet around here today. Tomorrow we might, I don't know, if we got a trending topic. If there's anything you guys want to talk about specifically, give me a call. Let me know by tomorrow. And we'll get it on. And like I say, even if we don't talk about it, we'll be chipping away at it a little bit each day. Our offline housing outreach. Excuse me. So, but anything else that's in the news, you guys let me know. All right, on that note, I guess we'll kick off early today. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.